This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
That should be the purpose, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make sure that those people accept what you're calling them upon and they start practicing it. It's not about informing them about what you are saying or what they don't know, because they might know all of these things before you reach them. But the whole issue is about you using the wisdom, you know, to try your best to make sure that they are convinced and they're doing that which you're reminding them to do, or they stay away from what you ask them to stay away from it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to stay away from it. قَالَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. الْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ means you say the truth. You say the truth. That's the مَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. The key to understand this مَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, it means the best reminder. And the best reminder is none other than the one you do it through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his book. Otherwise, you're calling them upon what? You know, and subhanAllah, this is really, really important for us, because nowadays, we call people to change to what? To what we want them to be, not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be. That is a kind of the dunya, a life that we are imagining in our brain. So when we invite people to Islam and to righteousness, you know, we give a lot of discount, you know, to the people, you know, to put them in the way we want them to be. That's why they cannot sustain. You know, they cannot sustain. Everyone is calling upon his own path, his own way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Each group are only happy with that which they have. If that which they have is okay, no problem. No problem. They should be happy with that. But subhanAllah, in most instances, what they're calling upon is wrong. It's against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they only be happy with that. And that's why you see a person might accept them, but soon it will leave them to something else. And even if he remains with them, as long as they are not using the correct method to invite people, which is the method that is based on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are wrong. So al-mu'idhat al-hasana should be based on the reminder that is done through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hasana min jamil jawani. You speak good. You know, you meet a person with good face, smiley face, you know, somebody who accommodates them because you want them to understand what you are saying. So tolerance is needed. You don't tolerate what they are doing. You accept it. No, you don't do that. But at the same time, you have to open the door between you and them, which inshallah will help them to understand what you are saying and to be happy with it. And at the end of the day, they will try to apply it, inshallah. قَالَ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the issue led to jidal, you need to do the jidal. What is jidal? Argument, debate between you and others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. What is the الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ? Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the nusus of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, when it comes to jadal, debate, if you have principles, you know, especially this one, that you're going to debate based on the nusus, that debate would not last longer. Trust me, usually it will not last longer. Because most of the people who entertain this, you find them having a very shallow, you know, background, you know, concerning the matter of the Sharia. So if you set up a principle that we're going to use Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if we go out of this, we're going to the interpretation of those predecessors, the best one. You know, the companions, tabi'un, tabi'u tabi'un. Trust me, the debate will not last longer. If that person is looking for the truth, it will not last longer. Because either you're right or he's right. And if both of you are looking for the truth, one of you is going to realize the error that he's upon, and then he will quickly change to that which his brother was mentioning. Imam Shafi'i says, whenever I debate with a person, I always wish that the truth appears from him, not from me. SubhanAllah. Contrary to our time, you know. I want to be the best. I want to be on top of that person. I want to be only the correct one, and the truth cannot appear from his side. But in the past, they are not like that. They debate because they are looking for the truth. Maybe I'm wrong in my understanding. That's why he goes to hear what his brother has. That's why they sit down, they talk, you know, and the tension among them is very low. It's at the minimum. You know, Shafi was reminding somebody, he told him, just because, you know, after the debate, you know, it looked like he wasn't happy. The other sheikh was not happy. So when he met him, he told him, just because we debate, you know, it doesn't mean we have to be separated. If every two men who debated each other are going to be separated after the debate, then you will never find two people together. Yeah, there is no way for you to agree with everyone and everyone agrees with you all times. There has to be a moment where you disagree sometimes. That's part of our nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. It's part of the nature of human beings to have this kind of argument and debate amongst them. But the best are those who are using the best when it comes to the debate. They look into the evidence mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they use it in their debate. And as I said, if they go out of it, they're going to supporting evidences that can support these ones. Interpretations of the companions, interpretations of the tabi'in, or the right scholars that we rely upon in understanding the religion. So Allah says, "Udru ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wa jadilhum billati hiya ahsan." And then Imam an-Nawawi quoted the first hadith, which is the hadith of Abi Wa'il Shaqiq bin Salama. Qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qala kana ibn Mas'ud yudhakkiruna fi kulli khamis. Faqala lahu rajulun, ya Aba Abdurrahman, lawadittu أنك ذكرتنا كل يوم فقال أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أني أكره أن أملكم وإني أتخولكم بالموعظة كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بها مخافة السآمة علينا. الله أكبر. The life of Mas'ud, Shaqiq ibn Salama said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to give us nasiha, meaning he has a day that he comes to the people and remind them. So he has a day he comes to the people and remind them. Qala yudhakkiruna kulla khamisin. Every Thursday, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud will come and give them a lecture, reminder. Faqala lahu rajulun. And this is a university, moving university of the life Mas'ud. If you check about his biography, I'm telling you, you'll find a moving university. Umar used to be amazed with the kind of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave of the life Mas'ud. So among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very unique. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission to get inside his house when he says, أَحْلَلْتُ لَكَ سَوَادِي حَتَّى أَنْهَاكَ. I give you permission to come inside my house at any time, until the time I tell you not to do so. To the extent that the companions used to think that he is one of the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَدَّثَكُمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ مَسْعُودُ فَلَا تُكَذِّبُوا. If Abdullah ibn Mas'ud give you hadith, don't deny that hadith. Don't reject it. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was about to die, they asked him, who do we go to? He said, go to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he used to give them nasiha on Thursday. So I just introduced Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in that way so that you will understand why people have interest for him to come more and more, not just on Thursday. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ. So one of the brothers who was attending the place told him, يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. That's his kunya. He says, يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّكَ ذَكَّرْتَنَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. He said, I wish you will agree to increase these reminders and make it every day. We're willing to come. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّكَ ذَكَّرْتَنَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. فَقَالَ. So he says, we want it to happen every day. فَقَالَ أَمَا إِنَّهُ يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنِّي أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أُمِلَّكُمْ. He said, there is nothing stopping me from this except the fact that I don't want to get you bored. I don't want you to get bored with my reminders. That's how it is. If you have dars every day the first time, how many people you have? Yeah, a lot. You know. A lot. You know, you might have 300, 400, 500 people. You know, give them a few days. Yeah. I remember I opened a class which I call a special class. I don't want people to come a lot. The first day, 300 people came. Somebody told me, so many people are here. I said, no, inshallah, the amount will come back to the one that I'm looking for. And slowly, 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 until it reached the amount that I was looking for, actually. Yeah, because these are people, you know. And that was in the past. Nowadays, la hawla la quwwata illa billah. Ewallah, it's a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person ability to have a class that he attends at least once in a week or once in a month. It's really a blessing. And living in a time that fit the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'alamuna zahiran min al-hayati ad-dunya wa hum 'an al-akhirati hum ghafilun. They know everything about the dunya, but when it comes to their akhirah, they're too far from the majalis of dhikr. They have no time for that. No time for that. Because of what? The dunya. Allah said, شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا. You know, we're busy with our family and who? And our wealth. One of the brothers said, subhanAllah, we reached actually a time whereby the only thing that remains is the wealth, not the family. Our family don't have our time. We have no time for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salamat wa lafiyah. So a scholar or somebody who is reminding others must have this kind of wisdom, you know, whereby don't do everything every time, you know. Don't do your classes every time, every day, you know, because if people don't have break, they will get bored. And tomorrow, you will not see them in the class, and you are losing, and they're also losing. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, no, I love to come every day. I have no issue with this. But I don't want you guys to get bored. Because today he comes, tomorrow he comes, he will get bored. قَالَ كَرَهِيَةَ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ أُمِلَّكُمْ وَإِنِّي أَتَخَوَّلُكُمْ بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ كَمَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَتَخَوَّلُنَا بِالْمَوْعِظَةِ كَرَاهَةَ السَّآمَةَ عَلَيْنَا. He said, I am very selective. You know, I come from time to time, not every time. Just like the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do with us. And he is also doing it like that so that we will not get bored. Because if you have a break, the moment you come back again, you will come back with fresh interest. Yeah, you will come back with fresh interest. But if you're to come tomorrow, today and tomorrow, day after tomorrow, trust me, naturally a person will get bored, except if this person is really a student of knowledge, who sacrificed his life for the sake of the knowledge, and he أَوْقَفَ نَفْسَهُ لِلَّهِ لِأَجْلِ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. He makes himself as waqf, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek the knowledge. This one, if you invite them every day, you know, if you let him sleep in your house also, he doesn't mind. Yeah, he can receive the knowledge every day without getting bored. But how many are they? In the majalis al-dhikr, when you have the majalis al-ilm, you know, how many are like these ones? Very few. So we go with what? With the general. You know, we go with the masses. We don't go with the exception. You make your plan based on the masses, not the exception. We know that there are some people who are very serious, but understand that they are the minority. So go with the majority. If you want to have a special class for them where you see them every day, that's no problem with that. But when you come to the public, you should do it in the way Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to do it. He said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بالموعظة كراهة السأمة علينا. Because he doesn't want us to get bored, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not appear every day. قال وانا باليقظان عمار بن ياسر قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن طول صلاة الرجل وقصر خطبته مئنة من فقهه فأطيلوا الصلاة وأقصروا الخطبة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you want to know the smartness of the khatib and how much wisdom and knowledge he has, look at the khutbah and the prayer. Nowadays it's almost totally opposite. He says to have the imam making the khutbah very long and the prayer very short, there is no fiqh in this. This is not the smart khatib. There is no wisdom in this khutbah. The best is that the khutbah will be short and the prayer will be longer. You get the idea. But what are we talking about here? We're not talking about those khutab that a person wanted to make it short and at the end of the day, the message is not conveyed. Yeah, you have to make it reasonable. in the way you will be able to convey the message properly, and it is not that long. They said the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ varied, you know, from time to time. Sometimes a bit longer, sometimes, and some of them are talking about, you know, around 10 minutes the Prophet ﷺ is done. But one of our scholars said, it is not true to generalize, to say that the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ, they are always 10 minutes. No, sometimes he makes them long, sometimes he makes them short. And the narrations, usually everyone is narrating the vast majority of what he can remember from the khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why in some of the narration, they will tell you, he mentioned this, he talked about that. But what are the details the Prophet ﷺ discussed in that place? They don't mention it. You get it? So a person, a khatib, should be very straightforward and strong khutbah, powerful enough, the one that reached the heart. That's why, as I always say, that mimbar is not for teaching. You don't come to the mimbar to teach fiqh matters or some other matters. You know, that's why even some of our scholars denies, you know, the permissibility of talking about the biography of others on the mimbar. These are the places where you are supposed to focus on imaniyat, things that will increase the iman of the people. This is what the community need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them to you and gather them, those people who are not coming to the classes. They don't go to your class, they don't go to any other class most likely. But on Friday, alhamdulillah, but on Friday, since they believe that this is a very important day, everyone is in the masjid. So that's an opportunity that is given to the imam, you know, khatib, so that he can address the heart of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. He's supposed to remind them with something that inshallah will keep their iman intact until the next Friday also they brought. Wallahi, that's what khutbah should be based on. They mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he makes khutbah, sometimes, you know, his eyes will become so red and his voice will be so loud. He raises up his voice. Sometimes when he gives some of the khutab, they said, we are afraid of having the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falling down because of the way he moves so much. The mimbar will be, shaken by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gives them very powerful khutab. They cry sometimes, as they said, wajlat minha al-qulub. He cried a lot whenever the Prophet ﷺ talked about these matters in the khutbah. Therefore, the khatib should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should plan the khutbah accordingly. Talks about those things which will address the heart of the people. If there is an issue in the community, yes, this is a place also to remind people about what is going on and how to deal with the matter. Because you might not be able to reach them when you go to the other platforms. But when it comes to the masjid, almost everyone is here. It's the best place to send a message that will bring people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you're going to send a message correctly, you shouldn't make the khutbah too long. Because if you make it too long, they will get bored. And some of them, they will just want to see you finish it so that they can just pray and go back to their activities. You get the idea. So the khutbah should be very moderate and the prayer shouldn't be very short in the way we see nowadays. The khatib might come and spend longer time. When he comes to the khutbah, to the prayer, he recites Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, for instance. And the khutbah is mashallah. And the prayer is very short. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this khatib doesn't have fiqh. Yeah, if you're looking for the faqih, somebody who has fiqh, is the one that prolong the prayer, and the khutbah, he makes it very moderate. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعْطِيلُ الصَّلَةِ. You should make the prayer a bit longer. And when he says, فَعْطِيلُ الصَّلَةِ, he doesn't mean you should pray until the time you disturb the people behind you. Do you get an idea? Yeah. There are some who might listen to this, and then subhanAllah, open Surah Al-Baqarah and tell people to be patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعْطِيلُ As-salah. He used to recite in Jummah prayer, he used to recite Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la and Suratu Al-Ghashiyah. Very simple surahs. moderately making the prayer longer. Do you get the idea? So then you can have the balance between the khutbah and the prayer itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. قال ومعاوية ابن الحكم السلمي قال بين أنا أصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا عطش رجل من القوم فقلت يرحمك الله فقلت يرحمك الله فرماني القوم بأبصارهم فقلت واثكل أمياه ما شأنكم تنظرون إلي فجعلوا يضربون بأيديهم على أفخاذهم فلما رأيتهم يصمتونني لكني سكت فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فبأبي هو وأمي ما رأيت معلما قبله ولا بعده أحسن تعليما منه فوالله ما كهرني ولا ضربني ولا شتمني قال إن هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس إنما هي التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلت يا رسول الله إني حديث عهد بجاهلية وقد جاء الله بالإسلام وإن منا رجالا يأتون الكهان قال فلا تأتهم قلت ومنا رجال يتطيرون قال ذاك شيء يجدونه في صدورهم فلا يصدونه. This is a very important hadith, and we have very little time left, so I will just introduce the first part of it and then we stop until next class inshallah. So Mu'awiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was narrating an event where he was there with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the masjid. He said, "Bayna ana usalli ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Said there was a time I was praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, idh atasha rajulun min al-qawm. One of the people in the masjid sneezed. So they were praying and then the person sneezed. فَقُلْتُ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. So I told him, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. He was praying also and then he told him, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. He said, فَقُلْتُ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. فَرَمَانِ الْقَوْمِ بِأَفْصَارِهِمْ. And then people found it very strange and they started looking at him. You get it? So that man said to him, Muawiyah said to him, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. Why did he say, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ? Probably because the one next to him said, Alhamdulillah. That's why the scholar said, if you're praying and you sneezed, you say Alhamdulillah, no problem with that, but you have to make it very silently. Because trust me, if you're going to do it now, the one next to you also might forget that he's praying, he will tell you, Yarhamukallah. The story will be repeated again also. So you should say it very silently. Why Alhamdulillah is okay and Yarhamukallah is not okay? Because Yarhamukallah, you're talking to who? That person. But when you say Alhamdulillah, this is the dhikr, you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the idea? That's why Alhamdulillah is okay, but Yarhamukallah when you're praying is not okay because you're talking to that person. So inshallah in the next class, bi-iznillahi azza wa jal, I will continue from where I stopped. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. can answer, actually.
The YouTube, they don't know the question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. There are two questions from Sister Shafa. The first question is, can we understand from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu an, what the intercession of those 40 men who pray the janazah means?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. Okay, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he mentioned in that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that if a person dies and Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless him with 40 people to pray for his janazah, لا يشركون بالله شيئا. Those who did not associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will intercede for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about, you know, the intercession and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support him, to give him relief bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla because of the prayer of those people for him. Get it? So if he has that one, so we hope inshallah the person will get mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also get relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he meets him because of that prayer. What exactly they are going to give him, I've never come across a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that specify. But we believe intercession is intercession. It means he will be given a relief, insha'Allah azza wa jal, idhnillah. So we just leave it general. It's better for him, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal.
The second question. When the Prophet ﷺ asked the woman to fast on behalf of her mother, the fast of vow, she left as a debt before she passed away, did he restrict it to only this type of fast that one had promised to keep? Or can we conclude that it is permissible to fast on behalf of others when they are unable to?
It's a controversial matter amongst the scholars whether a person can fast on behalf of another person who died, any type of fast, but Al-Aqrab, most likely the closest opinion, is the one that says you can only fast if he promised to fast. He can fast on his behalf. Let's say he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast and he died before he fast, he can fast on his behalf. As for the person who left Ramadan, nobody should fast on his behalf. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم.